The next speaker is Chris Bickerton, who's another member of the protest committee, and he's going to talk to you about what we do as protest, how we've thought about how to engage with this issue, and how you can help us to do so.
Okay, now I'll just talk sort of for about 10 minutes. We've heard quite a lot about the scientific sort of arguments that sort of express very clearly the importance of animal research. What I want to kind of address specifically, in this sense I'm sort of addressing all of you here, is the importance of standing up and making these arguments publicly. And that's the issue that I want to address, and I think that's what protest has been focusing on from its inception. The reason I think that that standing up and publicly making these arguments is very important is that the freedom for scientists to do their work, the freedom for them to pursue their research, and all of you who are scientists, I address myself to you, so the freedom for you to do your own work, it doesn't depend on the passion that you have to do your work within your laboratories. What it really depends upon is your willingness to stand up and to defend your work publicly. Because the problem that we've been facing with regard to animal research is that the only ones who've been willing to stand up publicly have been the animal rights groups, and they've been the ones who've been setting the terms of the debate about this issue. And so it means that if you don't stand up and publicly defend your work, then you will find the freedom that you have within your own laboratory constrained, because that freedom is determined by the kinds of arguments that are made publicly. Now, I'm just going to run through some of the things that protest has done, which I think expresses very clearly that this is sort of this is the emphasis that we're placing on things. Just to kind of sort of to run through, in the kind of work that we've been doing, we've been facing sort of various questions that have been posed to us in the work that we've done, and I think the way that we've answered these questions makes very clear that sort of what we think is important about this issue. Now, one of the first issues that we confronted was about doing something publicly. It was about members of the committee actually sort of being willing to have their faces in newspapers and have their names on websites and to do that the work that we were doing publicly. And we had this discussion in the context of asking the question: was it possible for us to organise a public event anonymously? Is it possible to organise a demonstration anonymously? And I think we came to sort of the conclusion that it's simply not possible. You know, when you organise a public event, you are sort of, if you like, you're putting yourself forward and you're asking people to follow you. You're having the courage of your convictions, but you're also asking other people to do the same. And in that sense, you have to set the example. And so we sort of understood that we can't pretend to organise a demonstration if we're not willing for ourselves to publicly come out and say, this is what we believe, and we're happy to, you know, for that to be said publicly. So that was the kind of the first issue, that, you know, public events like this one and like demonstrations simply can't be organised anonymously. Now, another kind of issue that we had to confront was about the kind of message that we wanted to come out of our demonstration. And one issue was whether we wanted to organise the demonstration essentially being one that was against STEEP, which was the kind of the group, the animal rights group that's been demonstrating against the building of the Oxford Lab and for a while now. Now, we knew that in organising the demonstration in that sense, we could attract a good number of students who themselves have been disturbed in their work, a good number of scientists who have been disturbed by the demonstrations going on, and also a number of students and scientists who were sick of the intimidation wanted to sort of make a stand about that. But when we thought about the issue, we also realised that there was a danger that going down in that direction would detract from focusing on what we wanted to focus on, which was promoting animal research and the importance of animal research. If you like, pitching the demonstration in terms of opposing ourselves to speak was a way of saying that we disagree with your tactics, but we're not necessarily disagreeing with the substance of your arguments. And what we've been saying from the beginning is that it's specifically it's the substance of the arguments that we are wanting to take head on. And so, I guess the lesson that we kind of learned from that, because we were kind of weighing up how the demonstration would be successful and how we wanted to pitch it to make most people come. What we learned from that, I think, was that protest from the beginning has not just been about expressing the frustrations people have with animal rights groups. It's also been about trying to change people's minds. And it's about trying to convince people about the merits of animal research. And this means that you can't agree with people all of the time, and it means that you do ruffle some feathers. But at the end of the day, what we're trying to do, I think, is to create a climate where scientists are able to confidently and freely pursue their research, rather than being treated with the skepticism and the suspicion which I think has predominated up until now. And in that sense, to create that kind of positive climate for scientific research, that's about changing public attitudes and taking arguments head on. Now, another example of an activity which we did was that we bought, in a symbolic gesture, 10 shares in the pharmaceutical company GlaxoSmithKline. Now, I'm sure most of you are sort of aware of the story that, you know, that surrounded Glaxo about a week ago, which was that letters were written to small shareholders of Glaxo, effectively saying in the language of sort of the moral panics of, you know, sort of paedophile campaigns, that these small shareholders would be named and shamed. Now, our message in buying these 10 symbolic GlaxoSmithKline shares was very simple. It was that, you know, animal research is not some dirty little secret, something that people should be ashamed of. It's something, you know, that people should be proud of, that should be defended, people should be willing to stand up in public and talk about what they're doing. So what we tried to do was to call the bluff of these animal rights groups, to say to them, look, you tried this name and shaming campaign, which rested upon the assumption that people should be ashamed of, you know, having links to companies that do animal research. We will stand up, buy these shares publicly, and refuse that kind of blackmail. And I guess what we were sort of doing was that we were also trying this kind of action. We're trying to urge GSK and urge their shareholders to go down the route which we felt was the right one. Now, that route isn't and wasn't then greater secrecy and privacy. So in this context, not going down the route of more anti-disclosure laws to hide the identities of shareholders. Because that just seems to accept the fact that there is something to be ashamed of. We thought that the right route to go down was the public one, was to try and encourage people to stand up and to publicly sort of not be afraid of saying that they do have shares in Glaxo. So in that sense, you know, we made very clear that sort of the route that we were trying to urge people down was not the one of more secrecy and privacy, but was the one of being, you know, willing to stand up publicly and to sort of defend animal research. Now, a final action which we've done, which is something that's starting to develop, or is starting to be reasonably successful, is that we've been trying to pass motions through junior common rooms and middle common rooms in Oxford colleges. And these are just student bodies where students come together and are able to sort of take, you know, official stands on particular issues. And the reason why we wanted to tackle or take on these JCRs and the MCRs was that it forced the students to kind of to do a little bit more than what they've been doing up until now. You know, we have polls were taken about student attitudes to the Oxford laboratory, and they came out overwhelmingly in favour of the lab. But to vote a motion through the JCR or the MCR, which means that it very publicly says this JCR, this MCR is in favour of the Oxford lab, it's asking a little bit more. It's pushing students that bit further and to commit to something which they may commit to just when they're asked individually in private by a pollster, but which they're not necessarily willing to do when they have to vote in a JCR or an MCR meeting. And we've, you know, there've been lots of instances of college bodies being afraid of taking this extra step. But so far, we've started to notch up a few successes. New College was the first college to pass a motion through the JCR in support of the Oxford Animal Lab. Since then, we've had Wadham, we've had St. John's, we've had Corpus Christi. So we're starting to get a number of colleges coming out. And this is something which I think shows that sort of, if you like, if you've been trying to kind of make it seem more acceptable to stand up publicly and to talk positively about animal research, that if that's what we've been trying to do, then this is a signal, it's a sign that we're starting to make some sort of headway. So just to finish, I would say it's only by winning the public over on the importance of science that we can be optimistic about the future of scientific research in the UK. And I think, hopefully, in this way, if we can do that, then we can find ourselves living in a country where research laboratories are not built by people in balaclavas, they're not built behind closed doors, where contractors are unwilling to disclose their identities. Instead, we can live in a country where people are conscious of what scientists do and enthusiastic about the process, the progress that we can achieve through scientific research, and where science stands up on its own two feet and defends itself rather than simply being supported today through the back door of government legislation. So I guess what we're asking from you is your support in this goal of moving towards that kind of society, and to be able to hopefully fully realise the potential of this golden age of science, which Professor Fleming spoke of earlier. Thank you.